Right.
All right.
I made some toast.
Did you know it was going to be this hard work being British?
Yeah, and I even made the toast the old way.
Under a grill.
Well, the other old way, in sort of the pan on the stove.
Wow. That is hardcore.
Yeah, we don't have a toaster at the office.
Toast doesn't seem to be a very Norwegian thing.
Well, we have toasters.
I understand that you're familiar with the concept, but...
Yeah, usually we'll find them in households, just not at offices. Or perhaps some offices. I've been to offices that have toasters. But I guess when you have lunch delivered every day, you don't need a toaster.
I guess. Also, I don't think health and safety people like toasters.
Because people bathe with them? Or
because burning, I think. Because things that could go on fire.
Okay, so I have toasted bread.
Okay.
And when the bread is still warm, mm-hmm. I can smear on some butter as much as I want. And as much as I want is not much, because I'm not too fond of butter, actually.
The sound effects.
Yeah. This is we had to put this on afterwards. So we have hired some foil artists to sort of... Right?
It's very good. It's very convincing.
and now I can take some Marmite.
Did you read the instructions closely?
Yeah.
How much Marmite?
As little as possible.
Right. Don't spread it on like you would put like whatever poor leg you like.
And this has worried me for a week now. Why should it be so little?
Because it's quite a strong taste.
It should be... Yeah, let's smell this. Oh. It's a very strong smell.
Mm. Let that be your guide as to how much to put on the toast.
Hmm. It smells like something you... It smells more like a dinner thing.
Okay.
Like something you would find in a butcher shop or something.
Hmm. You can meaty. Cook with it. You can cook with it. Like, I've put it in stews and stuff like that before. It's quite good.
It's quite good. Okay.
That was British understatement.
No.
Some context for those listening who have never had Marmite. There's a Norwegian phrase, smaken er som baken, right? Which are, it's Swedish maybe or whatever, but like, opinion is like a butt, divided. And this is where Marmite sits. People either love it or they hate it, to the extent that the phrase the Marmite distribution exists, which is like a bathtub distribution. Everybody either hates it or loves it. There's not really much in between. It's very rare to meet someone who feels ambivalent about Marmite.
That being said, that metaphor or whatever, it doesn't work really, because butts are still sort of...
They're still one butt.
It's one butt, right? They stick together, the cheeks. So, yeah.
He says smearing brown something on something else.
Yeah. So the taste is like the butt. Usually there will be shit coming out. Right. So, yeah.
Nice.
Now I have smeared as little as... Now I can see the bread through the Marmite, right?
Show me. Oh, that's good. Yeah, that looks like a proper amount. Perfect.
A thin layer.
Bon appetit.
And now I'm going to taste this. It's a bit underwhelming.
Okay, keep going. You're only at the edge. You've got to commit.
By the way, this bread is an omega-3 bread.
Okay.
It's probably healthy.
It's not from, like, some planet in the Superman universe or something?
Not as I know of.
Hmm.
It's a very strong taste. Yeah.
Okay, you got there.
And you like this?
I'm gonna guess that you don't.
I have a relationship with food. I'm not a particularly fussy eater, but there are some foods that are sort of tiresome to eat, right?
You examples.
Have to spend more energy than you take in, sort of.
So, like celery.
Yeah. So I have that thing with caviar. When it comes to like the eggs, and so on, and this falls into that category. I don't think I will finish this.
You don't have to finish it. It's fine. Slices. Thank you for playing along. You were very brave.
Is this something that you had to grow up with?
Maybe. And not everyone liked it growing up. Thank you for trying it. Our listeners appreciate your commitment.
You're very welcome.
I'll tell you what. Did you get my message about the green bag?
Did you look for it?
No. Did you get my message about the green bag?
I did get your message.
Did you get the green bag?
No, I didn't fully parse the message. There's a green bag. I thought you were going to bring green bag.
Nope, you got a green bag. It's under the coat rack. If you want to go and get it and pick up a glass, we can solve your Marmite problem.
All right, I will.
Did you get a glass?
So,
do you have something?
A glass? Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So Chris has, like a leprechaun, left me a green bag, which has been at the office all week, and I haven't identified it.
We'll come back to that.
Whoa.
Okay, the big bottle is what you're looking for here.
What? And this is a big bottle. This is not... Is this 2 liters?
Yeah, I asked my friend to bring me some, and she took me seriously.
And, well...
Thank you, Ida.
Can you describe what I'm... holding up on, perhaps I should describe it.
I think you should describe it.
It is orange liquid, or slightly red, perhaps.
Mm.
And on the label, it says Iron Brew.
Right.
How was the pronunciation?
That was very good.
Iron Brew. All right, and... I would guess it is some kind of a soda or a pop.
Pop?
Or
wow.
Coke, even.
Bruce.
That's confusing when Americans say Coke when I mean
or
soda.
Cola, yeah. Right.
Cola, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess cola is the thing.
I think that's a southern thing in the States. Yeah. I think it depends where you grew up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's some carbon dioxide stuff here. Okay.
A little backstory here, I guess. This is like the Scottish equivalent of Coca-Cola. It outsells Coca-Cola and I think Pepsi also in Scotland. And it's caffeinated. And it's a great hangover cure.
Now we're talking. But it is a bit confusing also because in the label... In the logo, there's a pretty strong dude, and he's holding up the brew part of the name,
right?
Which would suggest to me that this is a healthy drink.
Sure, that's totally healthy. Yes, it's very good for you.
Let's try it.
The marketing slogan
The bottle used to be pretty shitty.
Yeah, it's one of not those great
soft
pouring
plastic bottles.
It's not a great experience, the pouring when it's full. Their slogan used to be "Made in Scotland from girders." I don't know if it still is.
Right, putting it back. I am always critiqued for not sort of tightening the cap properly.
And then it goes flat.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right, I'm drinking it. Yeah, it's decent. It's like soda.
Mm.
Have we something like it here, I wonder?
Julebrus?
Yeah, something. It's almost like pear soda or something. So let's see. So it...
Oh God, don't read the ingredients. He took one in there.
It's not that bad, actually.
It's got metal in it.
42 calories.
Per
100 milliliter. That's...
So if you have like a half liter bottle, though, that's 200 calories right there. So
yeah, but...
And it's not unknown for people to go through quite a lot of this in one day. You can get a diet version. This is not that, obviously.
Yeah, so it is a citrus-based thing.
Really? Is that not just the sour? Is that not just the carbon dioxide?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just the carbon dioxide.
Flavorings.
It says iron or ferrous something in there, right? Because that's the rust bit. That's the ostensibly the orange bit.
Colors.
Yeah.
Sunset yellow.
Oh, right. That's good. You should be having some kind of fit in about 30 minutes, if my calculations are correct.
From the caffeine?
No, from the coloring.
And... well, I like this better than the Marmite.
Okay.
That goes without saying. But
we're starting from a low bar there, though.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
So, am I going to finish this during the...
I think you should share it with your colleagues.
But actually, now I wonder about the combination of a Marmite spread and the Iron Brew.
Okay, you willing to go back there?
Let's try that.
Okay.
This is exciting podcasting.
We'll edit this down.
Oh, still terrible. I will now wash it down with some Iron Brew. Is this like the English breakfast that you don't tell us about?
Well, it's definitely not English.
I'm sorry.
Iron Brew is definitely Scottish. Marmite is probably more of an English thing, but it's not unpopular in Scotland.
All right. There's some more stuff here.
There is. You don't have to eat absolutely everything, but I thought I'd just bring
a bunch of
stuff.
Well, I
will. The next thing we should look at, right, there's the envelope. Put the envelope to one side. We'll deal with that in a bit. But there's a thing in there called a Caramac. There's two of them. And again, I just brought like as much as I could get or carry or whatever. And you can share these.
Am I allowed to have some coffee?
Because just drink the coffee. Ah, I'll tell you what. You can find two different types of biscuit in there that you can dunk in your coffee or not, as you wish. One of them is definitely good for dunking.
So we have now come to, not the dessert, but most definitely more of the sweeter kind. Right. Now I feel bad because I didn't leave you a care package.
That's okay.
So that we have
it was supposed to be a surprise
later, but... Then again, you are in Norway, so whatever I could find, you can go just get yourself in the supermarket.
Well, sure. I think the question is, what is there that, and this is something for you to chew on, I guess, no pun intended again.
Pun very much intended,
I think. Pun intended today, I guess. It's like, what would I not find by myself? What have I not already had?
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess you haven't had smalahove yet?
No, what is it?
Sheep's head.
Yeah.
I don't So was it these?
No. That's one of them. That's one of them.
Yeah. So you brought some digestive crackers.
Right.
Biscuits. Right?
Indeed. Digestive biscuits.
And, well, these I am familiar with.
Mm. You seem to have something kind of like this here.
Okay.
Right? I'm sure, like, I've seen something vaguely kind of similar, but I think they weren't very sweet.
Okay, are you thinking about kornmo?
Maybe.
It's square. They're square biscuits. And they're not sweet.
Mm, but, then no, I'm thinking of something that was a little bit sweet. Rather than a cracker.
Perhaps biscuits or something? Or I almost said Brexits.
But, oh, no, there's a Bixit, yeah, right, there's a...
Bixit, yeah.
Yeah. When I was commuting back to London last year, I kept taking packets of Bixit to mock my colleagues. It's both funny and sad.
Yeah, but we also have, I think we have the McWheaties brand in some of our stores, in fact.
Everyone who is not
Norwegian.
We also have
Civilization. So
really,
and we use them for cheesecake.
Right, this is what this gets used for as well, actually. But it's also really good for dunking in coffee. How's that packet going? You seem to be struggling with it. It's like 5 minutes in, and the packet.
The interaction
is still...
design of this package is, useless.
Did you pull the little emergency cord thing?
Yeah, I did. And it kind of broke.
Well, now you're going to have to eat the whole packet.
And what?
Okay, so things I didn't...
I'm just before going into Cookie Monster mode here, and...
We should link to the Tom Hiddleston clip.
Let's see.
When they talk about
they're always broken.
Of course they're always broken.
Yeah. So when you're having guests, you have to sort out all the cracked crackers.
When you say sort out, do you mean eat?
Hmm?
When you say sort out, do you mean eat? I'm helping.
I'm getting
rid of the broken ones.
It's a very bright cracker.
That's why you've got to dunk it in the coffee.
No, but then you will have cracker submarines in the coffee.
It's true. You don't drink the last bit, I guess, because, there's like a little layer at the bottom of soggy cheesecake base or something.
Man, the dipping thing.
Hmm. Is that allowed here in Norway?
That seems very English.
To dip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably. What you don't have there, but I have found a Norwegian equivalent of, is rich tea biscuits, which are also a very kind of dippy thing. They're supposed to go in your tea, I guess. They're incredibly fragile. They're like Maria Chicks. They're those. The video has frozen.
But soggy I don't like soggy biscuits.
That's
biscuits,
fine.
They should be...
crisp.
Crisp, right?
It's not everybody's cup of tea. I just can't help myself this morning. I'm sorry, I just like the puns are just lining themselves up. Soggy biscuits is another kind of Marmite division, I guess. Like, people either do or don't.
I've tried Marmite, Iron Brew, and now Digestive. I think Digestive is the thing I like the most...
Okay.
Up to now, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to try the shortbread?
Let's try the shortbread. That's a funny name.
Shortbread?
It's very literal.
Yes. But do you know why it's short?
No.
It's not the size of the cookie. It's to do with the fact that you don't work the dough. So it's like shortcake in the States. If you knead dough a lot with flour in it, it forms gluten chains like bread. The reason that bread is kind of fluffy is that it forms gluten chains and that allows bubbles to form in the baking process. And shortbread is the antithesis of that. You don't work any gluten. So when you make shortbread, you basically mix the butter and the flour and the sugar and you stop right there. And it doesn't form any gluten. If you over knead it, then the shortbread doesn't break crisply.
So you're telling me that there's gluten in these?
Oh boy, have I got news for you. Yeah. This is the most glutinous breakfast, short of like just spooning down the rice raw. But this is how we like it. We like our carbs in the UK.
But what you just described, this is how we make bread now in my household.
It's no not kneading. You just leave it, because the other way you get gluten to form. Right, just this is what I do. It.
Yeah.
The other way you get gluten to form is just leave it over time. Yeah. And the kneading process is just a way of speeding up time.
Yeah.
We can link out to the no knead method and all this jazz and all the, if people want to nerd out about bread stuff.
It's less work with not kneading. Just put it on the counter and let it be.
Mm.
Okay,
like John Lennon said.
It says product of Scotland.
Yes.
It is the proud shortbread of Scotland. Pure butter.
Mm.
And it has the sort of the kilt thing.
Tartan. Yeah. Sorry about that. A bit cheesy.
You don't need to excuse the tartness of this.
No, it's the cheesiness of the packaging.
But
can you find your way into the box? I'm now a little concerned after the last.
What is it with the sort of biscuit packages and? Okay, there's a flip here. Oh, of course, we need to have stuff in another plastic wrapping.
It would get stale.
So, on the package, it's quite yellow and crisp and clear, and it's again a bit disappointing when you take it out. It's a bit more grey. And in a plastic wrapping, which is also pretty hard to open. Oh, they made a little dent here.
Mm, just for you.
Yeah, so you just had to find it. And you can split it in two like that.
I love how none of these packaging, like none of the packaging for biscuits is ever designed to be closed again. The exception, Jaffa cakes. Now, there are not Jaffa cakes here, in part because you can get them in Norway. It seems to be they're quite common here. But one of the brilliant inventions, I guess, like if you're into that kind of thing in food packaging in the UK, is like a proper cardboard tube of Jaffa cakes with a plastic lid that just kind of slots in, and then you can kind of pour out Jaffa cakes, put the lid back on, and they kind of hold, you know, they keep themselves.
Looks not like a Pringles can?
Yeah, very much like that, actually. Yeah. But it's completely futile, because no packet of Jaffa cakes, once opened, is ever going to survive the day.
Yeah, that's true. But you can probably use it for other things.
I guess.
Yeah. So, I'm now dipping the shortbread.
You don't have to dip the shortbread. You can.
I don't have to, but
optional. Some people
you rather
do.
Would, right?
I like dipping, but that is not everyone's thing.
And this seems to sustain their form better when dipped than the digestive.
Yeah.
It's definitively butter.
In a good way, since you don't really like butter.
It's complicated. But I don't think I could eat a whole package of this.
That's fine. You're allowed to share.
Hmm.
But they are very rich.
You also have something similar to this in Norway.
Which is what?
I don't remember. I don't eat that many biscuits, I think. Because biscuits, that's kind of I tend to try to be sort of observant of my sugar intake, right?
Mm.
And having done that for a while, you start to consider in what form do I want my sugar today?
Right. You have to prioritize.
And when you start to identify how much sugar there are is in stuff.
Yeah.
Biscuits that you think they are sort of
really
not that sugary or
really
healthy. Yeah, because they are You brought up that biscuits are kind of a healthy alternative, right?
No, they're not in my
house.
They
are not candy proper, right? They're fake candy.
I should perhaps say that when I was growing up, we had very rarely biscuits in the house. We never had candy. Like, my house was the house where joy went to die in terms of food.
Tell more.
Oh, just that's it. That my mum was sort of very kind of interested in kind of healthy eating and stuff like that. And so, you know, we had like grew up with brown rice and things like that. And it was rare that we had things that were kind of quote unquote normal food. So I don't know. Like, I don't know what the normal relationship with this stuff is.
Shortbread reminds me of what we call sandkake. Or sand cakes, which is one of the canonical Christmas, I guess. It isn't that much a cake as it is a homemade biscuit.
Mm. I think kind of... Go on.
Yeah, it is probably sugar, butter, and some flour.
Mm. Yeah, the amount of butter in that stuff is absolutely terrifying.
It was a good treat.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, I feel like I've probably torpedoed your productivity for the day because you're going to have this massive sugar spike and then everything else is going to be ruined. I am sorry about that. Have you got it in you to try anything else?
And you have not just left me... there's too much stuff here.
We can take some of it next week if you want.
Let's do it all now.
But oh God, I'm so sorry.
Do I need to eat all of these?
No, those are for sharing. Look in the envelope.
Okay. I have a envelope which on the front side it says Kit Kat versus Quick Lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing in there.
Oh, sorry, I meant to put them. Okay, so there should be a Quick Lunch and there should be a Kit Kat in the bag.
So I don't know what game you're playing, but there's one Quick Lunch and there's four Kit Kats.
Well, you know, just preserving the ratio. No, that's just for sharing. It was just I asked people to bring me stuff when they came and that was just what came.
You have to share this.
You don't have to. Take one Kit Kat and one Quick Lunch. And open both and put, like, what I'm trying to do with the envelope is that we're going to do a blind taste test. I've got the same here. So I have both here. And The Guardian did this a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, is that they actually kind of ran a straight-up comparison between the Kit Kat and the Norwegian Quick Lunch, which is the equivalent of the Kit Kat. And I thought we should try that. I thought we should see if we could tell the difference and or which one is better.
So this is a double-blind test, you say?
Well, I don't know what you're getting, and I guess you don't know what you're getting, so yeah.
And the Kit Kat people, the Kit Kat lobby, they have had an interaction designer in-house, because on the package it says, tear hair.
Mm.
Easy.
And they have these nice little jagged edges at the end that you can you can just tear.
Oi, so a whole thing.
Oh, just... wow. I don't think you know your own strength. And hopped up on like iron brew and sugar.
Yeah, and I guess this is good for sharing this with your friends.
Sure, if you're, you know.
And we have a little wrapper that so that chocolate doesn't melt. So the shape is quite similar as to the Quick Lunch.
Mm. Actually, I've got to say, like already the Kit Kat is winning, right? Because the Quick Lunch does not have a little edge bit. It has a bit that says, openness hair.
Yeah, and why is that? And well, this is where the Quick Lunch is indeed superior.
Let me see.
Because it is a reason that you have to open with this flap. It will become very apparent soon.
It opens like a dinner jacket. That's impressive.
Yeah, and when we have opened the package completely, and you take out the delicious, superior... chocolate.
Mm.
What do you see then?
Well, there is, of course, a walk that you can take.
What now? there's a walk you can take instead of chocolate.
Oh, I got Fredrikstad again. I always get Fredrikstad.
It's a sign.
What do you get?
Bergenflöjen.
Oh, how apt.
So, nice. Yeah, there's a little instruction for a walk or a hike here.
Mm. I really like these.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I should take a picture afterwards and we'll put it up so people can see what the walk description looks like. It's really charming. And on the outside, you get a little, on the outside of the packet, you get a little map that shows you where that is.
The Kit Kat, however, nothing. Mm. Completely personality, lacking of personality.
Not even a joke in there or anything. That is sad.
For best before end, see under fin seal. Whatever that means.
All right. Take one bit of Kit Kat and one bit of cooked lunch. Put them in the envelope. I'll do the same.
So we have to try with our eyes closed.
I think you have to reach in and break a bit off one, and not look which, and then eat it, and then you'll figure out which one it was afterwards. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, that was the best I could do.
We have to try them both, right?
I think so.
And do you have some water or something to neutralize the taste buds?
I do.
Okay, good. I will just do the coffee thing.
Mm.
Okay, I'm not tasting. Oh, this is most definitely Kit Kat.
Why?
Without a doubt. Mm. Because the chocolate is a bit darker.
Hmm.
It tastes foreign. And I just know it.
Hmm.
So I put that on the one side of the laptop. Now I'll try the quick lunch. This can be very embarrassing.
If you get it wrong.
I actually also closed my eyes. Mm. This is the old familiar taste of quick lunch. I can feel the breeze. All right.
All right. Hmm. So I just did both. And I did them quick. It turns out I did the quick lunch first. And what I'm taking away from this is that... What? Is everything okay there?
I think we have to end this podcast.
What just happened?
Well, I got a mixed.
Ding! That's funny. Okay, so you ate Kit Kat in good faith, thinking it was a quick lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I've got to tell you. I don't know what to say. At this end, I ate the first thing I ate. I thought, well, that could well be a Kit Kat. And I put it to one side, and I picked up the other one and went, oh, this is really thin. This is not a quick lunch. Like, the quick lunch is much more substantial. There's much more chocolate on it. And it taught me that I've become accustomed to quick lunches. Quick luncher.
Hmm. But, that's a good question. Just quick lunch.
Hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, there seems to be a slightly more chocolate on the quick lunch. That's correct.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of more substantial.
But, actually... It's weird because I thought that the quick lunch was a bit lighter of a chocolate compared to Kit Kat.
Like more milk?
Yeah. But when I did a blind test, perhaps I was confused about that it was more chocolate.
But I think I prefer the quick lunch, I have to say. I don't know whether it's just because there's more chocolate on it or what.
Well... I have to agree, but now I'm questioning my whole identity.
Good, that's why we're here. That's
because that's the point. I think this test is also in the immigration thing, and I just failed.
Get out of the country. Well, there you go. That was instructive.
Okay.
You have one task. More. You have one task remaining.
Karamak.
This is a piece of my childhood. But the reason I include it here is that it's in a way the closest thing that the UK has to Brunost, brown cheese. In a way.
So you don't have goat cheese in...
We do have goat cheese, but it is not sweet.
But no. are you talking about sort of the connection with the national identity?
I don't know.
Or just a taste?
Maybe just a taste. This is, I don't think it's doesn't register high on the kind of national identity food scale like that exists. But it's a piece of my childhood. I grew up liking it. It should not be in any sense considered to be a chocolate bar. There's like nothing in that that would qualify it as chocolate, but it's kind of, I don't know, I like it. It's interesting.
So it is a bar, it's a candy bar. It's pretty thin.
Mm.
And I guess if you have this in your backpack for a day or something, it will be pretty crushed up to pieces, right?
Yeah, they're a little fragile. That's probably not recommended. And I remember having this on an ice rink. Like, it came out of a machine, you know. It wasn't like I was in the middle of a forest or anything like that. We're talking indoors.
Like a vending machine.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking indoor skating.
And this thin candy bar is what you would go for.
For example.
Right? And no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. Preservatives, right? And we are opening it. It's not...
You're making it sound like a health food. It is the antithesis of a health food.
I expected something brown.
But this is...
It's white.
I probably set up your expectations by talking about chocolate. It's changed colour. It used to be more orange. I suspect they've taken all the interesting colour out of it.
And you can... Well, it didn't break where it should, but okay. Doesn't taste much.
Really? It's been a while since I had one. It's possible they've taken all the interesting stuff out of it.
Hmm.
Do you see where I'm going with Brunos? It's got that kind of slightly salty, slightly sweet kind of
it's fudgy like
quality.
It's just slightly...
Well, like, if you eat Brunos every day, then, yeah, this is going to taste really mild by comparison.
And Brunos tastes more. Well, it depends on which kind of Brunos you are going for, but...
Well, that's a whole conversation, because it comes in, like, several grades, right? Like, what do you buy, if you buy it?
Usually the so-called fløte myst ost.
The pale one.
That's
quite pale and quite sweet.
Yeah, it is. And now I have to check my facts because... Yeah, because the kind I usually buy is made from cow's milk.
Hmm.
But Brunos proper, it's made from goat's milk.
Right.
So it's almost like, well... It is kind of a chèvre, only a bit sweeter, but also brown.
Mm.
So,
But it's kind of sweet and salty at the same time, which is why I thought of this.
I can see what you mean.
Mm. But this is like a pale shadow, flavor-wise. This is going to be a pale shadow of any Brunos.
But as a candy... Well, this is what you would go for?
As a kid.
What kind of other choices did you have?
Not many. Like I said, I grew up without this stuff in my house.
I would have chocolate over this one.
Yeah. Chocolate brought me out in a rash as a kid. So I didn't really eat it a lot.
Huh. Well, it is fine, I guess.
Mm. Hmm. Well, it's mild. You know, we like mild food in the UK, like mild beer, mild curries, mild weather.
Also a bit buttery.
I doubt it's got any real butter in it. I think everything in there is like 100% synthesized.
No, it says no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives.
What is actually in that?
Let's see. palm oil,
That's sugar,
lactose from milk, even more milk, butter fat. So I got the butter thing correct. Milk and butter. So it is verging. It's chocolate without the chocolate.
Yeah. But it's not pretty a Milky much. Bar, which is a whole other thing. Have but you had those?
It's chocolate. Yeah, but that's still chocolate, right?
It has a tiny amount of cocoa butter in it. It's a bit of a technicality, I think.
But this is mostly sugar, milk, and salt.
Right. The salt is important. The salt is very important in a Caramac.
And I guess it is caramel. But it's not like the usual caramel that you would have. So
yeah. And I think that's it. I think everything else is just more of the same.
Yeah. Well, that was exciting.
I'm really sorry about the sugar high and then the subsequent crash that you're going to have.
Well, it is Friday.
Woo! We should talk about the buying of food. Like, Rachel, who listens, I hope still, asked about supermarkets. And this seems to kind of, the tasting and the food thing seems to tie in pretty well with that. And I kind of wanted to talk about supermarkets a little bit because I think they're interesting.
Right, let's dive into it.
I think or, I...
Yeah.
Yep, what?
Sorry.
What? Nothing. All right. Oh, come on, if you've got a terrible pun, I want to hear it.
I had a pun, but it has been played already.
Yeah. You've got to get up early in the morning to out-pun me. I've had my Weetabix this morning, is how I guess I would say it. Is Weetabix a thing you can even buy
here? I know of it, so perhaps.
Maybe it's just washed across the North Sea from all the TV culture that you all consumed. Consumed, I can't stop. Anyway, supermarkets. Right, in the UK, the range of supermarkets that you can go to is... there are many, but like the quality level... Oh, he's back in the Iron Brew. This is a good sign. You are accepted as a token Scot.
I identified that. This taste is like what we would call actually champagne soda.
Okay. Oh, like cream soda. Is it that kind of vanilla-y kind of?
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
There's a bubblegum note in. I think there's a bubblegum note in Iron Brew. Is that what it is?
No, we have a soda, which has been branded like the champagne soda, the party soda. And
is it actually called that?
Yeah, and I think they got in trouble actually from the champagne people
champagne
lobby.
You can't put champagne on it if it's not champagne.
So they had to rebrand it after like 20 years or something to Festbrus or a party soda thing.
Okay, I'm gonna buy that next chance I get. Yeah. Is there a diet version? Again, not big on the
probably,
sugar.
But you don't want that. Well, you do want that, but you don't want that.
Yeah.
So that, okay.
There's the bind.
Supermarkets.
Right, in the UK, you've got everything from like Lidl and Netto and places like that, which are kind of traditionally European chains. But in the UK, they're the kind of the bottom of the market. They're like the economy flight equivalent of a supermarket. And then at the other end, you've got like the Marks and Spencers and Waitrose, if we just talk about food, kind of, which are like very sort of highly regarded, very proud of their quality, et cetera, et cetera. And the distance between those two experiences in terms of kind of shopping, in terms of food quality and the emphasis on fresh stuff is really, really high. And then you've got these people in the middle like Tesco and Sainsbury and the Co-op have started to come back with it. And who else has got it? Asda, I guess. Asda, I would say, growing up is like a bit kind of towards the bottom. I think they kind of compete on price more. Right, but the point is that the width, the breadth of this stuff is huge. It's really, really wide. And then you walk into pretty much any Norwegian supermarket and the standard is pretty much the same. The stuff that they sell is pretty much the same. The experience is pretty much the same, which is to say most of the time you're wandering around in this vast, vast supermarket with two other people at most. There's no one there. Like, the ratio of people to sort of square meters of flooring in Norway in a supermarket is just extraordinary compared to the UK, where, like, it's just really busy all the time and, like, you're colliding with people and, like, you're trying not to... If you're carrying a basket, often the baskets are wire and you're trying not to, like, hit people in the knees with the baskets or run the trolley into people. And it's just a completely different experience. So there's, like, the quality thing, the packed thing, and the fact that they all sell the same stuff.
This is your impression.
This is my impression. Like... Hmm. I'm sure if you like, if you go to the Kiwi at the station here and wave to little green Kiwi elves, all the people who work there have to dress in green. They look like little pixies. But if you go there at like rush hour or after work, like, yes, it's really busy, but it's a small store and there's a lot of people and they're all kind of getting on public transport or getting off public transport. But if you just go to like in Oslo, if you just rock up at some random supermarket at a random time, it's pretty quiet.
But we have to qualify this, because what do you mean by supermarket?
Well, I'm talking about, I guess, the big stores. Like, you can get the smaller ones, the kind of local ones, right? But I'm talking about...
So would any Kiwi or any Rema be a supermarket in your book?
Well, the thing is, in the UK, we would use the term, like, there's a point where a supermarket gets so small that it's a corner shop. And it's hard to call the size differentiation there. But when I talk about a supermarket, you can get pretty much whatever food you want there, like any kind. A corner shop might decide that they're not going to sell some kinds of food. They might prioritize some things over other things. Yeah.
But when you have a Tesco or something where you also can buy stuff.
Well, that's complicated because Tesco have like these huge, huge warehouses which are like enormous, yeah. And you can buy like a lawnmower or a microwave oven or whatever. But on the other hand, they also have like Tesco Metro and like other things where like they're actually quite small. So they've kind of differentiated their own brand, and the supermarkets in the UK have started to do this. They've kind of like the Co-op here, actually.
Yeah.
Like they have kind of big, small, medium, different.
Because if you go to a shopping mall in Norway, and they usually have supermarkets that is on the larger side of things. And if you go there on a Saturday, perhaps somewhere around 1 o'clock or something, it's pretty crowded by families and old people.
Why would you go then?
You wouldn't, but my point is for your comparison.
Mm. But I guess I'm comparing like with like, because I'm talking about going shopping after work on the way home from work.
Yeah, okay.
And the experience of doing that in the UK is unbearable, and the experience of doing it in Norway is really chilled.
Yeah, because my point is that I suspect that in the UK, everyone is going where you are going, sort of to the supermarkets in the urban area or in their neighborhood and so on. But in Norway, the pattern is that people usually don't buy that much food in the weekdays, but they do it all in the weekends. And then they take their car, one of the cars, and drive to the shopping mall and do all the shopping there.
I think there are lots of people who do this in the UK as well, the kind of weekly shop.
Certainly, but you are way more people in the UK, so you probably are doing both.
Yeah, with less land as well.
Yeah. Perhaps you should do something about that.
Yeah, you're right. If only there was a way to kind of ensure that there were fewer people in the UK.
Or that the UK had more land.
What are you suggesting? Too that soon? We invade? How's the arm brew?
It's still interesting.
Good interesting?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I wish that I had placed the bag that I didn't know of in the refrigerator for this week, but
yeah, it is.
Do you like your chocolate cold or lukewarm?
I think mostly room temperature. I think it depends. At home, we do keep it in the fridge. But I think I prefer it at room temperature on the whole. We don't go through it very fast at home, which is why.
I prefer it cold, actually.
Okay. Even like when it comes to like if you were to eat a chocolate bar, like something a bit thicker, so that's not just chocolate, but has like a biscuit in it, like a quick lunch. Would you rather have that in the fridge?
Yeah.
I'm not sure we can agree on this.
I don't need to agree on that, but that's okay. So, supermarket, yeah, I guess you have more Lebensraum in the supermarkets in Norway. That's,
oh, you
I
went
can
there.
See that.
You've managed to not talk about this for like a good 10 episodes now, and you
true.
Just blew your streak there.
It must be the iron brew. But,
what are you insinuating?
Well, the most stressful thing there is to go shopping when there are other people.
Yes.
And the stress and the kids and the... Yeah, no, don't get me started. But,
right.
But what I... In your opinion, the selection of stuff that you can buy is... the same or sort of comparable?
I think on the whole, I think it's skewed differently, but I'm still figuring out how differently. Like, Scandinavia generally is really good on dairy products, like really good for dairy products. And so you have a lot of kind of milks and cheeses and yogurts and stuff like that. But the quality is great and the range is very high. And so that gets a lot of shelf space. Things like meat and fish and poultry get quite a lot of room. And then there's the kind of the dry goods stuff. I'd say that in a British supermarket, there's more kind of dried goods and canned goods and stuff like that proportionally. Maybe kind of a much bigger range of breakfast cereals, maybe. I don't know. We like don't really, you know, go into that kind of thing. But and probably more kind of crisps and chips and really unhealthy food. It's hard to say. I'm still figuring it out.
Because my impression is that all over in not Scandinavia or in not in Norway, even compared to Sweden, we don't have that much stuff, that much to choose among.
Give me an example.
Well... when I was in Lerwick and I went to two supermarkets there, actually. Hmm. One is this Tesco and the other one, I don't remember. It must be a sort of a local chain thing. Hmm. But it was also slightly large.
Mm-hmm.
And they had way more of everything. Either meats or... yeah, cereal or whatever.
When you say way more, what do you mean?
Just more stuff.
Physically, quantity more or like a range of different...
A range, in the range stuff, right? So, and I would think that I have a pretty good overview over this because I've worked in distribution of sort of grocery stuff and in retail, so I've been there. On the
front line.
Yeah.
I think that I'm thinking now about British supermarkets is there's much more emphasis on ready meals of the kind where...
yeah, that's true.
They give up a lot of shelf space to things that you can take home and either put in the oven or put in the microwave and you have a complete meal. And that seems fairly rare in Norway. Like most of the stuff that you can buy, you actually have to go home and prepare.
I get that's a good point. It is, in comparison, that rare that those kinds of meals usually are known by brand. Sort of, we have this one brand called Fjordland,
mm-hmm.
which has it's like the Google of ready made meals.
Title.
Yeah, because yeah, so that is what you would buy, I guess. There are others certainly, but
what kinds of things do they do? Give me examples of the sorts of meals.
Meatballs, potato dumplings.
Very like traditional.
The Norwegian, yeah, very traditional stuff. Cutlets, pasta, and so on.
In the UK, I would reasonably be able to walk into a medium-sized supermarket and probably get a ready meal that was, it could be Italian, it could be Thai, it could be Indian, lots of different options. It could be sort of traditional British, like meat and potatoes kind of. And I'm not really a big fan of these because I actually like knowing what's in my food and making it. That makes me sound unbelievably precious about it. I'm really not. I just think I have enough time in my life.
Hipster, you like to make your own food.
I do, man, I do. No, I don't know. Sometimes these things are like very good value for money. Marks & Spencer's, M&S in the UK does very good deals occasionally where you can get like, you know, two dinners and a dessert and a bottle of wine for like £10, which is like 100 kroner, which is nothing, absolutely nothing. And it's not bad quality at all. But yeah, I have forgotten. It was easy to forget, I think, moving here, and I do not miss it, how much there is this kind of just buy it and take it home and put it in the oven and eat it sort of culture, and then not cooking. It costs more to go out for dinner here also, so people, I guess, are more in the habit of cooking.
Yeah, but we also have, perhaps we have a larger or perhaps more of the frozen pizzas.
That's true. There is a heavy emphasis in the freezer section on frozen pizza.
Yeah.
And they're not all grandiosa either. They're
exactly. Mm. They're not grandiosa. But yeah. And you said another thing. You could get a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Because you can't here.
Really. Right. You have to go to the state monopoly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so supermarkets sell wine and spirits in the UK.
So that was a pretty huge differing factor. And they had also in Ladvik a quite large selection of different microbrewed beers and stuff. Mm. And we have more of that as well. Just from the later years in Norway, but the alcohol choices is definitely more in the UK, I think.
It's interesting.
Another interesting tidbit is that I think you can get in Sweden when you are buying beer at the grocery store, because they have the monopoly as well.
Yeah.
That beer tends to be weaker in alcohol than in Norwegian stores or something.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the maximum like alcohol percentage that you can sell beer in a supermarket or like any alcohol in a supermarket?
I think it's
5
like
or something?
4.7.
Right. So by British standards, actually, that would be quite weak. Like a lot of beers are kind of 5% beer that gets sold in the UK. So I'm trying to think what that would cut out.
By the way, this test room, this user testing room, smells like Marmite now.
I have achieved. Excellent. That was my stealth goal there, was to make the office smell of Marmite. Did you put the lid back on?
Yeah, I did, but the toast is still... Yeah. In Sweden, the maximum in the regular grocery stores, it's 3.5.
Wow, that's pretty low. I'm struggling to think of the last time I drank a beer that was 3.5%, you know, without it being an alcohol-free beer.
It's almost pointless, right?
Almost pointless, yeah. Oh, speaking of points, I guess there's the whole loyalty scheme thing. So the idea that you have a member, you are a member of a supermarket, which happens. I know the Co-op have it here. I'm not sure who else has it.
Well, Co-op, there you actually are in as owner of the whole thing.
Right. Or you have a stake.
Virtually, yeah. So you, pun intended. You get profits every year.
Mm.
But yeah, it is kind of the same spiel, I guess.
Yeah, you get them.
Yeah, but it is that it is a part of history, because I think before Co-op was co-ownership from the farmers or something, like Tina.
Yeah.
So, do you have that in the UK? Did you have that?
Well, we have a chain called the Co-op, which is part of a kind of umbrella company, I guess, called the Cooperative, which has like all sorts. It has a bank now and a supermarket and an insurance company and stuff like that. And they're all based in Manchester, actually. And I don't like that, but the Co-op food stuff goes back a long time. They kind of reinvented themselves. I know some people actually who now work or have worked in part of their reinvention and rebranding and stuff like that. But they were a chain when I was growing up. But I never really thought about whether they were co-owned by the producers. And I don't know if that was ever the case. I'm not sure what the membership stake is now either. I think it might work similarly to the one in Norway. I'm not really sure how that works. Hmm. I'm not really a big supermarket loyalty fan. I just kind of... I say that. I love Kiwi, our local Kiwi. Like, that, everyone who staffs it is really nice. All the people who work there, I think a lot of them might be students. But they're super nice. And they're really chilled. It's just a really nice place to kind of go and buy food. Everything's just quite friendly. And they all have to dress in green like pixies, and that's funny.
Yeah, because in Larvik, they did have this QR code card.
Hmm.
Which seemed a bit like, just shop everything and show your card and it's okay. So it seemed like a credit scheme thing.
Right.
And it takes away, I think, the feeling that you are using money.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, that's very dangerous. Mm.
Is there... So in the UK, my expectation is that people who are sitting on the checkout when you pay for your stuff in a supermarket are bored out of their minds and not really taking a lot of job satisfaction. And I've sort of run into that here a little bit, but it seems less.
I don't know about the comparison, but well, in my days, when I was a clerk, we had to do something.
Mm. Did you work the checkout?
Yeah, but it's only one place that I had to sit there, even if there were no customers, and that was in Coop Ops, actually.
Mm.
This huge, sort of huge supermarket. But in the other places, which has been slightly smaller, if there are no customers, you should go in the area and sort of sort and put the groceries in a sort of fine place and make it nice and so on.
Mm.
Do something useful. You shouldn't just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah.
And nowadays they are even sitting there with their smartphones. And scrolling.
No.
At work. Where's the character building?
I don't see this, but yeah. Maybe it does happen in other stores. I don't know.
They usually try to be subtle about it, but... Mm.
One of our local supermarkets has a post office in it, and the post office is open all the hours that the supermarket is open because it's staffed, like, by the same people. And this is mind-blowing. Because generally speaking, post office hours are short and annoying and difficult to get to. And now, if I want to pick up a parcel, it gets delivered. If it can't be posted to me properly, it gets delivered to the supermarket next door. And I can go and pick it up at 10 o'clock at night if I want. And this is kind of revolutionary. And it feels really kind of civilized. And I'm not sure if it's happening in the UK.
That's a mixed bag. Because before we had post offices.
Nice pun.
They tended to be open for decent hours. And the thing is, the people knew you.
It was personal.
And they did know their job.
Mm.
And that is not always the case when it comes to the post office and stores thing.
Mm.
Both that people are more suspicious.
Suspicious?
Yeah, because when I'm going to take home a package or something, at the post office, I could usually just show up and say, there's a package for me, and we know you, Knut, here it is, right? But at the shops, they don't know me.
Mm.
So they have to look at my ID, and if I'm bringing one home for my wife, she has ordered something, it can be a hassle. So, yeah.
Hmm. I am struggling to think how many years, decades I would have to go back to, if you're in a city in the UK that you were going to a post office, like they probably know the pensioners who kind of go there all the time, but I would be like 10 years old since they would recognise me in a post office or whatever. Like that's it's a long time. And it wasn't like, it was right in the centre of town or anything. It was just kind of our local post office. I doubt it's still there. That's the whole thing that they've kind of closed. I guess the same is happening here. Yeah. Is they're closing a lot of post offices and moving them into sort of concession parts in supermarkets.
Yeah, they are. And for me, it was 2 years ago.
You live in a small place, though.
Yeah, not that small.
Well, it's a
and
little bit
they
small.
Were in Bergen also.
Mm.
I think we still have them in Bergen, actually.
We still have post offices in Oslo.
Yeah.
I can go to one at up till 6 p.m. on a Friday, which I consider to be really good. What I was going to say about the opening hours is I think the opening hours at actual post offices in Norway and the UK are about the same. But the difference is that people in Norway start work early and they finish work early. It's not unusual to be gone from the office at 4 p.m. The post office is still open at that time. The bank is still open. Lots of places are still open at that time. In the UK, if you work like 9 till 5 or 9 till 6, you're never getting to the bank. You're never getting to the post office. You might try and go at lunchtime, but so does everyone else. It's horrible.
Hmm. And everything, we are doing so much shopping on the web now. So I'm quite often at the post office in the grocery store taking packages home and so on.
I want to ask you about this because both me and my husband have been seriously burned by buying stuff online that was then turned out to be posted from somewhere not in Norway. Like it's not always obvious that you're not buying from in Norway. And then you pay so much import tax. Oh my God. So much painful. Like it was 40% again of the price of the thing.
That's interesting because those sites, there should be some red flags.
You'd think, but I paid in Norwegian kroner.
Yeah, but then again, you usually you usually get the feeling from how the language is. It's kind of Norwegian at those sites. It's not that great. It also sometimes it is mixed with some Swedish words and so on. So you get the feeling that there's something going on here.
Right.
But and also we tend to buy from known web shops like Zalando or and so on. So
I need a list of recommendations of places to buy and not buy.
Yeah,
or give me a white list at the very least.
So we are now buying most of our clothes on the internet, which seems like a hassle, but it isn't, because most of these places has, it's really easy to return stuff that doesn't fit. So it comes with a package, the thing you need to put on to send it back.
So and it's postage is paid and yeah.
Yeah.
I used to do this quite a lot in the UK. I haven't done it hardly at all in Norway. I think buying clothes online is a bit of a weird thing though, because like sometimes it's not right at all. Shoes are very difficult. I say that one of the few things I've bought online in Norway was new running shoes, but that was like a repeat. That was like a re-up of my old one. So, but oh my God, I paid like an additional 400 kroner import. That was really painful.
Hmm. Yeah.
What about like, just to go back to the little supermarkets thing, what about like stuff like Kolonial and people like that? I know that's a bakery in Bergen, but like it's also like a online grocery delivery, right? Do they operate over there?
I'm not I don't think so. We have the Adams Matkass thing, but that's a slightly different concept. That's like dinners.
Right, that's here's your raw ingredients and a menu, right? Yeah. Like an ingredients but and recipe.
Kolonial.no, that's like a web-based supermarket, right?
Yeah.
I haven't done it.
No.
And I think it's slightly more expensive.
Mm.
So we probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
And we live next by a Kiwi, so it takes me like 2 minutes to go over there and do the stuff. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. We used to use the equivalent, one of the equivalent services in the UK to get groceries delivered, because we didn't live near a big place. All the places that we were anywhere near the house were small. And so you get a really tiny range of things. So we used to have groceries delivered. And it was great that someone would just rock up with all these bags and just go, right, here's all your stuff. But yeah, we don't have that excuse anymore, because we live near a really big Rema and a really big Kiwi. And they're like, they're on the way home, both of them. And I'm kind of almost enjoying going around the supermarket again, like not having had an opportunity to do it. And because it's so quiet, I don't mind being there.
And especially for vegetables and so on, those one you really want to feel and pick out yourself.
Otherwise, they often like they turn up and they're kind of like not what you would have chosen, or they're smashed or whatever. You've broken my cucumber.
Right. Let's go to the checkout area. And
check out the follow-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the receipt.
Right.
I had to practice my pun train.
Yeah, you do. Keep drinking the iron brew, it'll help.
Speaking of train.
Right. So I think you mentioned, I listened back through the episode that we recorded before we went on holiday. There's something horrible has happened to the sound on that. It was fine when I was editing. It is not fine now. So sorry about that, everyone who has actually listened to that. The quality was really crap. But the you mentioned briefly the NRK summer talk, the summer train.
Yeah.
And I didn't really take it in fully at the time. And then we had the TV on yesterday or the day before. And it's this program where this train, which is branded with the kind of National Broadcasting Corporation, it just travels through Norway, and people turn out to see this train, and like they make a big deal of it. So the train pulls into this sort of like small town somewhere, and like everybody has come, and they've got like music playing, and you know everybody is sort of standing in the rain at this time to kind of welcome the train. And it was very sweet. It was kind of endearing. Sorry, this is my cultural pick for the week. It's this train and the fact that like they make hours and hours of television out of people just turning up to look at this train. And this lovely woman, whose name I forget, goes around and chats with everybody and, you know, like interviews them and says, oh, you know, what, you know, like, who are you and what do you do? And that's a very nice bunad you're wearing. And, oh, you're the mayor, you know, that kind of... I'm just enchanted by this. I was talking about it with my husband. We were both watching it, just like, this is charming, but it's also like going back 30 years in time.
Yeah. So it is a combination of the summer holiday talk show thing and slow TV. So we have already done a train version of slow TV,
yeah.
Like Bergensbanen.
Mm.
And here they are doing a slightly more elaborate route. So you can watch this train minute for minute. And they also have these, I guess, when they are landing in a town or something, they are doing this show.
Yeah. It was a compilation of all of those bits that I saw.
And my cultural pick of the week is slightly similar. And it is another TV show called Norge Rundt.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is, really.
And it is in the same spirit, I guess. It is a pretty old TV show. I think I grew up with it, and it is this. I struggle to find the genre, but it is. So every episode, every week, every Friday, I think, or Saturday, it is. Sort of the frame is in one place in Norway, and the. Sort of the hosts are doing local stuff and so on. And in between there are the snippets with interviews and so on from people in Norway that do interesting things or have some weird talent or something.
Okay.
So, yeah, I made the Big Ben from Matchsticks or... I know every national anthem by heart or and so on. And it wasn't really a talent show or something. It just like more tidbitty or some,
right.
some interesting stuff from Norway.
Right.
So I think Norway or Norwegians has a culture and a history of looking at themselves on TV. Like regular people with some weird knack for something.
Yeah. It sounds kind of like, I can't think of anything obvious that is the British equivalent, but it sounds really familiar as a concept. It's like I could think about growing up with that in the 80s, that it would be, that kind of thing would be on TV where it's very gentle. And it's just sort of a little bit of like, now we're in this part of the country and this is what these people do and... Mike Smith linked to a really fun clip of a thing called The Monroe Show after our last episode, which is Muriel Gray in various sort of parts of the Highlands talking about where she is and being subject to Scottish weather. We can put a link in the show notes. It's very fun. And she uses the lovely word bogging, which is like a good Scottish word for disgusting. And that's rather nice. I like that. Made me remember the 80s. Yes, I'm old.
Yeah. So from the last program, they have actually combined it with the summer train, I see now. But the section is a class trip to Ytterskottet.
Mm-hmm.
strawberries, A to O. dancing teacher.
Yeah.
Marking of Hubro owls and the pioneers behind the old Vossebanen.
Okay.
So it's loosely connected.
Fairly.
Yeah.
You just reminded me.
76.
What?
It has been on TV since 1976. The show. So there's actually an archive on the NRK site where you can go back and look at old programs.
Cool.
Yeah, all right. So that's not a good hint.
You reminded me, you said A to O, or R to O, I guess. Like,
A to Z, yeah.
Right, this is the A to Z, but like, yeah, I wanted to say, because it sounded like, to a casual speaker of English, that sounds like half the alphabet. A to O. It's like there's going to be the second kind of, you know, the P to Z half coming. It's a very uneven alphabet, but anyway. Word of the week, do you have one?
I have many words, but none of them are of the week.
Have a think. You had
how weak.
Indeed. You had homework. Adrian Mole. Did you get anywhere with that? Okay, we'll come back to you. All right. Watch this space. My word of the week is one that I just found yesterday. I've heard it before, but it came up again. Osinsa. And the definition given in my dictionary app is awesome. So this is a word that I hear used about people who, sinsing would be, I guess, to come with an opinion about something. But I looked up the osinsa, which is the verb, in the dictionary, and it says to express strong but weakly founded opinions.
Yeah, this is... what I guess now is known by mansplaining.
I guess so.
It's quite similar, at least. But yeah.
Has it got that connotation in Norwegian? Like that kind of, you know...
Like gendered?
Well, maybe, but more just like that this person is kind of talking out of their arse.
Yeah, it has.
That's a good thing to know. Think.
Yeah.
It's a really...
But it is a bit of a consultant speak, because you would say something like, oh, let's stop sitting here and synsa. Let's actually investigate this.
Okay.
Yeah, and so on.
So
it depends if you use it to refer to what you or your group are doing. It is not that sort of derogatory, but if you... choose to characterize other people's opinions as sinsing, that's a bit, yeah, you are talking out of your arse.
Mm. Yes, it's that whole differentiation between I have a weak bladder, you are incontinent, he haunts public lavatories. It's that kind of progressive concentration of disregard for other people, I guess. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Good word, though. I thought it was very good that Norwegian has a word for that. Do we have any other follow-up?
I don't think so. Well, probably, but we also have 1.5 hours of podcasting.
Yes, I'm going to edit out because, like 20 minutes of chewing, I think.
You cannot edit out the chewing.
No, some of it.
But perhaps the 10 minutes before when I'm... was preparing all the stuff.
I think that can go.
Well, I guess thank you for the care package.
You're welcome. Thank you for trying it.
And I'm now on, I guess I have peaked. This is me on the high.
Well, sugar or otherwise?
I'll leave that for the listeners to interpret. But, I'm looking forward to the crash. We're going to have a wine lottery today at work.
Why?
Why not?
Not that I in any sense do not approve, just merely like what happened.
Because most Norwegian companies tend to have a wine lottery. But I guess we have been too cool for that kind of stuff, but now we have a new boss.
Mm.
And the first thing he did going into power was to introduce a wine lottery. So I guess we have to diligent meet up and be appreciative.
I think just knuckle down. It's the only way you're all going to get through this. It's hard, but somebody has to do it. I now feel that I need to demand one of those in our office.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Takk for at du spiste opp.
Takk. I haven't eaten it all.
No, I know.
The Marmite thing.
Never mind the Marmite thing. Your reputation.
What is the deal?
Your reputation as a Norwegian is now in tatters, sir. Thanks to the Kit Kat Farrago. Farrago? Is that even a word? Fiasco?
I guess I have to walk another 40 miles in Norwegian mountains to clear my now tainted karma.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, that's your homework. It's like every time you eat a quick lunch, you have to do the walk.
Well, let's get moving then.
All right.
Next week, something.
Exercise again.
Where can people find the vast list of links of all the stuff that we have mentioned through this episode?
If they go to smalldifferences.farside.fm, they will find it all. I will try to come with good links and pictures of all the foods that we've discussed today. And eat.
Yeah, and there's also a contact form.
There is. Contact us.
Yeah.
If you want. We're not needy or anything, but it would be.
You can also do it in the social medias, Twitter, right. LinkedIn.
Yeah, we haven't talked about like Twitter for ages. The fact that you can actually tweet
do
us.
Do we have a Twitter account?
We do have a Twitter account. Can I still spell it is the question. The Twitter account is Small Forskjeller, Small Differences. S-M-A-O-F. Jeez. S-M-A-F-O-R-S-K-J-E-L-L-E-R.
I think you can leave out the Jesus part.
Yeah, don't put Jesus in. There's too many characters. It goes over the 15 mandated characters. But yeah. But yeah, tweet us. We enjoy receiving tweets. We may even reply.
Ha det bra. Takk for at du hørte på.
Ha det bra.